This is Christ Together Radio. For the next hour, listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy discuss how God is working in the Church of Western New York. God is on a mission in Buffalo, and we want you to hear about what is happening and where it's happening, and join in. So grab that second cup of coffee and listen in to Christ Together Radio.
Welcome to Christ Together Radio. We're so glad you chose to join in with us today as we bring to you what God is doing in Western New York and throughout really North America as we discuss God on the move and what he's doing through the Christ Together Radio, Christ Together Network on Christ Together Radio. And I'm Brett Larson, joining you every week, sitting alongside Ryan Cozy as we co-host together. We've had people on who are pastors and lay workers and ministry leaders, all trying to explain to you what we see God doing in the region and invite you to join him on his mission. Last week, if you were listening, we were joined by Pastor Chris Baldwin, who's leading an initiative called Cultivate. Cultivate is the idea where we gather church leaders, gather pastors together, and help them as they lead their congregations to do more and better things for Christ. And so we invite you to join with us this week. We're going to talk about three different areas that we feel are real catalysts, are real necessities to watch, to see the church revitalize, grow, and begin to really change a region, as we've seen beginning to happen in Western New York, as like-minded churches who are gospel-centered, what we call evangelical in nature, are coming together to see God's mission accomplished, and that is to make more and better disciples of Jesus Christ. And so as we do that, these three areas that I think are really interesting, I think you're going to enjoy hearing about them because they apply directly to you as you're listening and driving along or doing whatever. I think that you're going to like hearing about them. So, Ryan, it's great to see what's happening in the church. And I know there's a new study coming out that is positive for the Buffalo area.
Yeah.
A lot of work that you've put in and, mm-hmm. and pastors have put in, starting to see this engine start to roll.
Yeah. And it's really cool because, you know, the reality is we still haven't bottomed out in terms of our total population in Western New York. Like, we're still on the decline. But, mm-hmm. you know, there's just times where when you're keeping your head down and you're going to work, you need a win every once in a while. And I feel like the Lord has been very gracious to us to show us some wins. And I think that those wins are an indicator that collaboration is a very real part of what we need to be doing to join God on his mission. And, you know, sometimes people, you know, I relationships all throughout the country and different churches. And, you know, there's always a joke about Buffalo, mm-hmm. right? There's always a joke about Cleveland and Toledo and these places that I'm familiar with and hold near and dear to my heart. But the reality I feel like God is doing something special in this region. And even though we still have a mountain to climb, there's the reality that we've got some good stuff going on. We've got those things going on in church partnership. We've got those things going on in church planting. We've got those things going on in people mobilization. And while we still have lots to do, and we still have ways in which we can improve, God is showing us that there are some evidences of fruit, that greater collaboration at a deeper level is working, and it's enough fruit to spur us on to continue that. And we've got more things that we're going to discover, but there's enough evidence to us that this is working. So how can we work better in cooperation with the Spirit? And I think that's a huge part of the story that God's trying to tell in Western New York.
So just a couple minutes left in our opening segment here. But Chris, we've kind of identified as in talking to you three areas that you're working with Cultivate to help pastors engage in. And the first one is articulating their mission, vision, and values. The second one is prayer. And the third is developing leaders. Just give us a brief synopsis of what Cultivate is and how it can help in these areas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Cultivate is a quarterly gathering. We're coming around tables and kind of presenting these different topics, you know, maybe with something like 20, 25 minutes, having another person in the region share. The other part I like about that is that it's you're pulling out the strengths, you know, that are mm-hmm. in the region, you know, and encouraging one another. But it's like the Bible says, iron sharpens iron. And so, yeah, you have an opportunity to kind of look at these topics, give them more definition, and then evaluate, you know, is there ways that maybe our mission, vision, values can be articulated more Is there ways that we can engage in prayer even more significantly? And, you know, how is it that we are, you know, developing leaders, you know, so that ministry's carrying on that's, you know, far beyond us? And so, you know, have an opportunity to look at these things, tackle these topics, and, you know, just these are great aspects of ministry that, you know, can be improved in a lot of places, probably.
All right, we're looking forward to talking about these three different areas. The first one coming up when we return from the break is how to articulate mission, vision, and values in a church setting or in a leadership setting. And you might be thinking, well, I don't really have any say in anything. Well, you still need to understand this because you're part of a congregation, and it's a together thing. And you're also part of God's mission, and he wants to accomplish things through you. And so as you understand these ideas, they'll help you in what you do. So stay tuned. Christ Together Radio, Chris Baldwin, Pastor Chris Baldwin, joining us in studio today alongside Ryan Cozy, who co-hosts every week here on Christ Together. I'm Brett Larson. Don't go away.
This is Christ Together Radio, a program where we help you join God on his mission. Listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy bring you into the roundtable discussion of what God is doing through the Church of Western New York.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson alongside Ryan Cozy, joining you every week on Christ Together Radio. To find out more about what we do and maybe listen to some past episodes or programs, go to WDCXradio.com. That's WDCXradio.com. Click on Programs and you'll see Christ Together right there. You can click on Christ Together, listen to old programs, send us an email. Maybe you have some more questions or want to get in contact with somebody who's been on the show before, you can do that right there. And we'll forward that on to whoever needs to know about it. Today we're talking about three things that in the process of growing healthy churches, growing healthy leaders, and continuing to see God work in Western New York, these three things that we've kind of identified are critical, not only in just their need, but also things that we see that maybe we need to do a little better job at collectively in the Church of Western New York. And so, Chris, the first one is articulating our mission, vision, and values. I'm just going to throw it to you and tell me what that means and what that might look like.
Yeah, I mean, when you think of anything that's healthy, right, is that it's going to have a really solid DNA. And so when we think of church DNA, a lot of times the conversation comes to mission, vision, and values. And what do we mean by that? Well, a mission is a defined purpose. Mm-hmm. My encouragement would just be to search the scriptures on this, because Jesus was definitely on mission. And so I think he can help us articulate that well as a church. The vision is an idea of really what is a preferred future. You know, that if we are all working together, what is this looking like? And a great vision statement will actually kind of be like in the perfect tense, where we'll watch it kind of be attained at different pieces, but it's something that's always pushing us forward in its full attainment. And then values is something that's really, really critical. That's really critical, because those are the places that leadership comes together, where, you know, they agree upon these things are important and vital in this church. And I think churches, you know, kind of share maybe a common mission. This is my personal preference on it, that, you know, vision statements are going to be pretty close to each other, but values are connected a lot to our context as well. Mm-hmm. And what we see, you know, God leading us in. And so values are very important, especially for ministry unity and alignment. You know, I mean, when we all come together on Sunday morning, and now we've experienced this great worship and, you know, a great message, and we are inspired. Articulating mission, vision, and values helps us to come together as people, as a leadership, as a staff, you know, and as a pastoral leader in a church, that we know that we are going somewhere, that this is what we're working on, what God has called us to all together. And so, you know, and a lot of these things, you know, this is what makes, I think, like for really good board meetings, mm-hmm. are an articulated mission, vision, and values. So we don't have to debate. We don't have to be, you know, cross on things. You know, like these things are saying, you know, this is what, you know, God has for us as a church. This is what we're all working on together.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting, too. I mean, I've been a part of, over the last few years, I think I've been on five boards. And you know, when you, especially when you get in the weeds on difficult subjects or potential changes within an organization, if you don't have those core things really tight and right, you can't come back and say, well, hold on, let's remind ourselves of what we agree on in principle, that we're not negotiating. These things will not be negotiated. And because these things will not be negotiated, they're helping us to make wise decisions. Yeah. And I think that that's, you know, when you're able to set that up at that sort of a level, it really helps an organization to be about the process of making good decisions. You know, I was going to make the right decisions all the time, but you're going to be in a spot where, because we agree that we're not negotiating this, we're in a spot to move forward. And I think that's where, unfortunately, a lot of boards and a lot of leaders get hung up. And I realize, like, some people might feel like this stuff is dry, but man, this stuff is vital. Mm-hmm. It is absolutely vital. And if you're a pastor out there or a leader of faith-based nonprofit and you don't think that you've got this dialed in, this is exactly something that Cultivate can help you with in that process. And I just feel like that's a very important part of this process.
Yeah, Ryan, I've been on both sides of that issue of organizations who have articulated that well. And when a certain crisis comes, or especially as a board, volunteer board members, they don't live it every day. So a lot of times it's one thing for the staff not to know. That's a big issue.
Right.
It's also a big issue if you're a nonprofit and you have these board members who come in once a month.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden a crisis hits and the executive director's gone or something.
Right.
And you've got people scattered in all different directions. And if they don't have this foundation to run back to,
right,
and understand that they need to prayerfully make decisions based on mission, vision, values,
yeah,
it's a disaster. And I've been a part of a 2-year-long search for an executive director of an organization. This is years ago, that it went just like all over the map.
Mm-hmm.
Theologically and otherwise, because there was no understanding of the core mission, vision, and values. In fact, the mission was understood, but the vision and values, especially that values,
mm-hmm,
like, what do we value as an organization? What kind of person are we looking for? So that's how it plays out on the organizational leadership end. But even down, we call it, say, down or underneath in the organizational structure, from those who are either employed or who are congregants of a community, understanding that, and you have to vote on a budget as a church member, right? And so as you kind of, that's important. I think it's important for church members to be involved in the operation of the church and understanding what they're getting involved in and what they're committing their tithes and offerings to. And so as they do that, if they don't understand the values of what we value in our church, like, mm-hmm, we value community, but we're spending all our money on,
yeah,
whatever,
right,
then we're not really funding our values. Mm-hmm. And so I think that these things are really important for leaders to communicate and collectively work on with their congregation, right, Chris? You've, mm-hmm, you've been a pastor of churches and probably seen the good, bad, and the ugly in this.
Yeah, I think that, you know, this is all about, like, execution and what we're working on. And when we have these things are kind of, you know, laid out as a foundation, then, you know, we can really, you know, move forward with initiatives or, you know, staffing, you know, how are we going to do that? Then when we know, you know, mission, vision, and values, and it just allows us all to come around those. I think the other piece is that I think values are very important to articulate, and it's something that's really important. You know, that's a part of, like, our membership process, you know, is like being a member here. These are our values, you know, like, and a lot of times people are like, you know, yeah, okay, well, that's why I enjoy this church. You know what I mean? Like, this, because this is what I'm experiencing here. But, you know, what's really important, I think, is, you know, find where that is, how that's articulated in the church. And then, you know, kind of that's a way that where we are really connecting in and a part of ministry and feel a part of the, you know, team and what's going on is finding a place of worship where, you know, we share some pretty common values and, you know, and then we're all working together. And, mm-hmm, and so it might be different, you know, just down the street. And there might be some people that, you know, you go there and now you're feeling like, oh, okay, you know, because values are what, you know, kind of make you feel at home, you know.
Mm-hmm. They help you engage, mm-hmm, in what you're doing. So we've kind of talked about the why, and this is all important, and a little bit of the how. Ryan, how does an organization begin in this process? Like, there might be a guy out there who's like, I know our mission, it's like to make disciples, I guess, but, like, I don't understand. What does that mean? I have to have a vision. Like, what does that mean? I got us to tell me, like, something in my dreams, or what? Like, what is it? How do I even figure this out?
Yeah. So for us as an organization,
you have 5 minutes to tell people how to do all this.
Okay. Sure. Easy.
Yeah.
For us, I just tell you our story. I tell you how it worked at the chapel. God got a hold of our heart through the scriptures. He brought us a relationship in a missiologist by the name of Dwight Smith. And he just asked us a few really key questions. What does God want? And what would it look like if God got what he wanted? And so for us, you know, when we just looked at the scriptures, we felt like that God has always wanted relationship with his creation. And that you can go, this isn't a New Testament thing. This is Garden of Eden. This is the creation. Like, God really wanted to be in walking relationship with his creation. And that gave birth to what they call Missio Dei, God on a mission. And so when we were looking at the scriptures, we felt like what God wanted was he wanted for every man, woman, and child, every being he created, he wanted them to have repeated opportunities to hear and to see and to respond to the truth of the gospel, that Jesus was the God-man, that he is the bridging gap of relationship between God and man because of our sinful state. And so we were like, okay, well, that's really laser clear to us. That we don't just want to know this as our vision as a group of leaders. We want to make sure that all of the, you know, the, in our situation, the few thousands of people that are under our care, our stewardship, that we want to make sure that they know this as well, right? And so we were like, okay, well, that gave birth to our vision, you know, our mission. And our vision, you know, was answered in the question, what would it look like if God got what he wanted? Hmm. And so, you know, again, the scriptures are informing us constantly on this. So the mission was every man, woman, and child. The vision involved two things. One was just that we understood that we were not going to accomplish being on mission with God by ourselves, that there were other churches in the region that were going to help us with this, because it's God's mission. It's not the chapel's, right? Mm-hmm. And so if God was going to write a letter to the church at Western New York, who would he write it to? Well, he was going to write it to Eastern Hills. Mm-hmm. He was going to write it to Grace on Eggert. He was going to write it to the Tabernacle. He was going to write it to the Vine. He was going to write it to Kenmore Alliance. He was going to write it to Journey Church on the east side. He was going to write it to New Direction Christian Fellowship on the east side. He was going to write it to a lot of churches that we had no relationship with. And that was on us to understand that vision, you know, you know, what does God want, and what would it look like if God got what he wanted? Well, what it would look like is we needed to start building relationships with other churches. Mm-hmm. And we needed to understand that all of God's people were going to be a part of this. So our mission was every man, woman, and child. Our vision was collaboration with other churches, mm-hmm, and the full mobilization of all of God's people. Mm-hmm. So that fed our vision that we were going to have to work with other churches, and we were going to have to understand that God wanted to use everybody to accomplish the mission, not just the rock stars. Mm-hmm. So our mission was answered scripturally. Our vision was answered scripturally. And then lastly, our values were answered scripturally. And our values were that we felt very strongly that everything that was going to happen in our region with the full mobilization of our people was going to be fed out of intimacy with God. Mm. That if you didn't have intimacy with God, the scriptures are absolutely clear that, you know, the one who's walking with God, their ear to the ground, deeply into the scriptures, deeply into silence, deeply into prayer, deeply into spiritual disciplines, they were going to have intimacy with God. And that was the first and foremost value that needed to reside in every single individual that called themselves a Christ follower. And the outflow of that was that if you had intimacy with God, you would understand the value of walking this out in community with other people. You would understand the value of knowing your spiritual gifts and using them for God's glory. And then lastly, you would understand the value of the fact that you have a grace story to share, and it's going to bring God glory when you put him on display. So in 5 minutes,
yeah,
the big answer for our mission, our vision, and our values is there. But the scriptural tether is a part of all of this. You have to have a scriptural tether, mm-hmm, to this. So that, mm-hmm, that was how God allowed us to answer those questions.
That's great. So hopefully you get a better understanding of what we mean by when we say, you know, so these all these things working together come to help us fulfill God's mission and what he wants to do in the churches of Western New York. And as we are able to articulate these mission, vision, and values like Ryan just did, we're able to kind of help people grab a hold of these things. And if you're listening and you're a congregant and you maybe attend the chapel or, you know, one of our local Wesleyan churches in Western New York that Chris has been involved with, or just any church in Canada or wherever, that you need to kind of begin to understand, well, what are my church's mission, vision, and values? And maybe ask your pastor, or maybe say, hey, can I help, or whatever, or connect with the Christ Together Network. Let them help. They're willing to help you determine these things so that you can get and be the best you can be collectively for the kingdom of God. So next up, we're going to talk about prayer and how important it is to discern where God is moving and what God wants for his church as we continue to pursue what he wants to do in his church in Western New York and in Southern Ontario. So you're listening to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson, Ryan Cozy, co-hosting every day. Joining us in studio, Chris Baldwin. Don't go away.
Some say Ryan Cozy has a face for radio. Others say he's the lead candidate for Mr. January in the Christ Together Network Pastor's Calendar. I'm so confused.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. We're so glad you chose to join us today on WDCX and Christ Together Radio. As always, you can check us out online at WDCXradio.com. Click on Christ Together Radio, and you'll find out about more episodes that we've done and programs we've done. I think there's some 50-something on there. And also, you can send us an email and ask questions about anything you've heard today, or just if you want to connect with somebody from the Christ Together Network, send us an email. We'll get it to the right people. Today, we're talking about three things that we see as vital to helping the churches in Western New York, particularly, because that's our context, come together to see gospel saturation happen in our community. The first one you heard about was it's important that we, as leaders and as people who attend and support churches, that we are able to articulate our mission, vision, and values. This next segment, we're going to talk about prayer and how important it is to be engaged and to be. Ryan finished off, it was a perfect segue because he talked about intimacy with God and the spiritual disciplines and how important they are. And I think we all kind of have things that we favor, but prayer is such an important thing. And I think sometimes it's a lost, it's not an art, a lost discipline in what we do as believers to really get close with God and engage with him in what we do. And Chris, this is something that you've been deeply involved in the Church of Western New York. Maybe you can explain that and maybe give a better perspective or a bigger perspective of what prayer does for a region.
Yeah, and I wish I could say I came across this nobly, but to be quite honest, is that, you know, there was real struggle for us as a church plant and in getting started. It was very difficult, you know, getting a building and just other things, you know, to be able to move forward. And so after 5 or 6 years that were just very, very difficult, we kind of came to the place where, you know, we were desperate. We were kind of thinking, do we close the church doors, you know, or do we just continue this? And so we entered into a real season of prayer. And so it was out of that we, you know, discovered, you know, what desperation brought us to in our prayer life. And then all of a sudden, as we prayed and God began to turn things around, what we realized is that we didn't want to leave that place of desperation, that was, you know, that became like a sweet place for us and developing, you know, intimacy with God and really, as opposed to relying upon ourselves being the end of ourselves, to just really, you know, relying upon God. And so, yeah, I've actually had places kingdom bound, and then also on a national level with the Wesleyan Church, where we've done some of this and helping pastors, church leaders to cultivate their personal prayer life, and then also, you know, how to cultivate prayer in the church. And because I, you know, we're never going to have praying churches without praying leaders. And so, you know, I think first of all is just, you know, coming to that place in our own life of, you know, what does it mean to cultivate intimacy with God? And as opposed to just giving God a to-do list, you know, there's been some things that we've learned over time of just, you know, really being able to enter into, you know, God's presence. And, you know, spending time in prayer that is not just a one-sided conversation where we're saying, God, I need you to do this, I need you to bless this, but rather it's helping us understand prayer is a two-way conversation. And so getting ourselves into that place, you know, where God can talk. And so we'd love to cover that and cultivate, you know, coming up, is just, you know, helping people just in their own personal prayer life. And, you know, one of the things I've done is, you know, connected with the House of Prayer movement, and it's in our nation, and have just, you know, found some beautiful mentors in this area of prayer that have just helped me, you know, like, I'm coming up against this in prayer, you know, can you help me, you know? And so, you know, these are things that are just so valuable. But then there's also parts where we can really cultivate the prayer life corporately, as a church, and helping people with that very thing of developing, you know, that intimacy with God. And, you know, a lot of times, it's because our prayer life are kind of on the run, right? Mm-hmm. Like, okay, my prayer time's going to be on my way to this appointment, or my prayer time will be, I'm going to eat lunch fast, and then it'll be the second part of my lunchtime. That when we really are more intentional and purposeful, that we can, you know, really help in, you know, people developing even their own prayer lives, and eventually, you know, corporately as well. So like, some of the ways that it's changed for us is that, you know, I've led a number of those prayer meetings where we just took this prayer request and that prayer request and this prayer request. Now more so, our prayer meetings are, you know, it's maybe smaller groups or larger groups, but it's getting together with our Bibles. And what is amazing is that if you'll say for an hour, let's come together and pray, and you just open up your Bible and you begin to pray scripture, like it is amazing what is accomplished in prayer, because you will lift up families, you will lift up your church, you know, you will lift up your needs. But when you are praying scripture, there is just such power in it, because you know that you're already kind of coming into or coming into agreement with God when you pray scripture, you know, like bringing people together and just praying scripture over the church, you know, like if it's Matthew 5, right, and salt and light, you know what I mean? These are really powerful times of prayer. And so, you know, we can help, you know, kind of foster those times of prayer, you know, in the church. And
I want to ask you a question, because there's some things we hold in what I call beautiful tension in the church. And I want to ask you kind of how this plays into God's movement in the region and how he wants to develop his church. So we know that God is sovereign, that he is all-knowing, that he knows all things past, present, future. And so he knows where his church is going. Yet we pray that he would grow his church, that he would give us opportunities to share, that you know, we pray all these things, and we petition God, as we see in the Old Testament, as Israel petitioned God, and he seemed to change his mind or seemed to move with them. And so I want to ask you guys, like, as we do our best to work hard at growing and articulating mission, vision, and values and letting those play out, there's also an aspect where we kind of come underneath God and trust him to move his church as he will, and yet we ask him to do things. So how do we, what do we pray for? You know, what kind of thing, and you pray scripture, I think that is a huge thing, because you're right, it does begin to align us with God. But as we pray, I mean, what if we're praying for him to move in a way in a church, or to save a church that his ultimate plan isn't to save? Like, how does that work?
Begins 500 years of free will and predetermined.
Right.
You know. Well, for me, like, it's a great question. I mean, I feel like we are allowed to lay our requests at the Lord's feet, to go boldly before the throne and put our petitions before the Lord. And trust him with his sovereign outcome. Right. So he loves for us to ask. It may not be that what we're asking for is in the larger picture what he desires for his glory to be revealed at that time, and so we submit ourselves to it. I think that as and then I'm someone from more of a Reformed tradition, that I, you know, I definitely don't land in a spot where, well, it's been all predetermined, so what the heck am I doing? You know, it's not a point. And to be honest, a book that really helped me with this as someone from the Reformed tradition, it was a book on evangelism, which was by J.I. Packer, Evangelism and the Sovereignty of God.
Fantastic.
And that was a piece where essentially, you know, Packer is saying, like, if you think that because of just predeterminism that you have no responsibility toward the evangelization of a people, you're nuts. That you do, because you don't know what God's sovereign hand is going to allow or not allow, but you have a responsibility to advance the Great Commission. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I remember that book just being very, it's not even a thick read, mm-hmm. you know, but it's deep. And I just remember thinking, like, yeah, that is for me as someone from more of a Reformed tradition, like, oh, Lord, I will lay these petitions at your feet, and I will trust your sovereign hand with the outcome. And where my prayer is not in alignment with your will, show it to me, mm-hmm. reveal it to me, and help me to be at peace with it. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, because of our depravity and because of our sinful nature, you know, and because of the fact that sanctification is a lifelong process, I don't know that I'll see all of those prayer requests in the full understanding of the sovereign hand of God. But I'm definitely not on the sidelines and not asking for those things. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that makes sense, but
let's ask the Wesleyan.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we like to formulate these things. Yes. Don't yeah. we? A couple pieces I think about, you know, one is that I think prayer is connected to our eternal identity. We will forever be with Jesus, and prayer is one of the most beautiful ways for us to be molded and shaped where, you know, we are really enjoying his presence, mm-hmm. you know, where mm-hmm. where it's part of his preparation. And so, like, I think when I pastor people, I don't think of pastoring them for this lifetime, but I'm pastoring them for eternity, mm-hmm. getting them ready for eternity and the presence of God. And so mm-hmm. when we do that, like, I think that's really important in developing our intimacy. But yes, I mean, mm-hmm. what I think about sometimes, I think we pray so that we are changed mm-hmm. and we move and act differently. Mm-hmm. And when that happens, God then, you know, moves on our behalf. Mm-hmm. I think that's so important, is that there is, you know, our role first is coming under his authority, allowing him to shape and change our hearts, you know, so that our will is his. Mm-hmm. And that then when we begin to pray in that way, then all of a sudden that's when we're beginning to really see God move.
That's right. That's a great place to tie a neat bow on it and just say, hey, you know, it's both. It's both and. And I think it's so important that as we pray and as we gain intimacy with God, we begin to read his word, that our prayer begins to align with him. And we become, like you said, Chris, kind of aligned with his will, mm-hmm. so that he does move, because we're aligned with his will. Therefore, what is happening is his will, and we're engaged with him in that. And it doesn't take away the fact that he moves, and we pray something and he moves, doesn't take away from the fact that all along he was planning to move and wanted mm-hmm. us to join mm-hmm. him in that mission. Mm-hmm. And so it is a both and as we align with him, he's then free. Then he uses us, mm-hmm. but it doesn't change the fact that he was sovereign in his will to do that.
Well, and I think even scripturally, because I remember going to the mat thinking about this stuff, like, this was yeah. one of those... This is one of those things that I remember being a college undergraduate yeah. at Bowling Green mm-hmm. in the middle of the night, newcomer to Christ, going, so do my prayers matter? Like, how does this work? Yeah. You know, and I remember God reminding me of the scripture where, you know, Jesus even just cries out to God, like, you know, hey, if there's any way that this cup can pass from me, awesome, mm-hmm. but not my will, your will be done. And I just remember thinking, well, geez, you know, he's been around, so I'm, you know, Trinitarian, so, you know, I think Jesus had a kind of a neat picture, and yeah. even in Genesis, he had a little look-see at what was going on. Yeah. Yeah. And so I'm just looking at that going, okay, he has deep, deep interdependence within the Trinity, mm-hmm. and yet he's still praying. you know, Lord, if there's any way that this passes, awesome, but not my will, your will be done. Full cooperation, you know, as much as I pretend like maybe there's a mathematical way to understand the Trinity, I can't, you know, but I accept it. And I just think, okay, God, that gives me great confidence that I can do the same thing Jesus was doing. I'm not the same person Jesus was, but I can do and model my life the same way after what Jesus was doing. And Jesus was offering up, Lord, if there's a different way, then I would love to see it. But if not, then I will submit to your will. And I think there's beauty in that.
The bottom line is we're told to pray and we're told to seek him and everything. And that's what we do. And funny, speaking of a reform guy, you think of a guy named John MacArthur, doesn't really get any more reformed, at least soteriologically.
The hyper-reform category.
And, but interesting, I heard him say one time, and it was in a group, a smaller group of us, and he said this one time, we were going over this kind of stuff, and he said, hey guys, at some point you end up under your bed sucking your thumb. And the point is, God asks you to do it, and you pray, and that's what He asks us to do. And so, we'll leave you with that. We'll leave you under your own bed, sucking your thumb, going crazy.
That just happened on Tuesday.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's some. But the idea is, and I think Pastor Chris shared it so well, and we have to go to a break here, but that it's important that we engage God in prayer for our region. And if you're not doing that, then start, connect with Christ together. There are prayer meetings happening. There's the 24 hours of prayer. There's all kinds of things that God wants to do, and it's so critical. And I just love, even in the side rooms here, hearing Chris and Ryan talk about engaging more in the idea of prayer for our region. So I'd encourage you, if you're in Southern Ontario, pray for your region, pray for the church.
Yeah.
And our next topic will be developing leaders. I think a perfect lead-in to what it's like to develop leaders. Stay with us on Christ Together Radio.
Remember when R2-D2 had a special message for Obi-Wan? Well, the gospel is kind of like that, but it's not a secret, and it's from God, and it's life-changing. And, well, okay, so it's nothing like that, but it's really awesome, and God is doing great things in Western New York. Here's Ryan Cozy and Brett Larson.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. We're so glad you chose to join us today. We have a lot to get to in this segment because it's a major topic facing the church today, something that if we don't do well, we're in trouble, at least organizationally in trouble. And so this is one of those issues where we pray, right? We pray that God helps us in this area as he will. And it doesn't take really a rookie theologian could look through scripture and see how leadership is like central to so much in God's word. We see it from Moses and Aaron, and we see it in Joshua, and we go to the judges and to David, and then on to Jesus himself, and we see Paul and Peter and those who led the church. So leadership is like crucial to the growth and advancement of the church. So in this final segment of today's Christ Together Radio, picking up on our mission values, our mission, vision, and values, and then the importance of prayer, we're on to developing leaders. Passionate topic for all of us, so we're going to try to manage our few minutes left that we have in our show. Ryan, I'll kick it to you. This topic of developing leaders, crucial for the church, and where do you see, number one, its importance, and then where do you see us going, and how do we get there?
Well, yeah. First, I just want to make a good for the listener, just a good connection. So we're talking about how a place like Cultivate, which is a forum which God, really birthed in Chris Baldwin's heart to just create a space for partners in the Church of Western New York to have a place. Like, these are some of the things that we can talk about within Cultivate, and that if you're out there feeling alone as a church leader and you need help with this, make sure you reach out to Chris, and that's christopher@churchofwny.com if you're interested. christopher@churchofwny.com. These are topics that we feel have a great space in Cultivate, and if you feel like you need help and you want to address this, like, let's get together, because I think that there's value of that. You know, one of the things that I personally see in terms of answering the question is there's this really interesting tension of helping leaders at the top understand the sensitivity that you need to exercise to make sure that you don't hold on to your position too long. And so the example that I hear all the time is, you know, you've got to be working yourself out of a job. And I fully agree with that. And I fully believe that there are people that agree with that, but are afraid to do just that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think that pastors are some of the greatest violators of this. So I are one. I'm a pastor. And I feel like there's this temptation that's constantly nipping at my heel, which is to say, yeah, I mean, of course you want to work yourself out of a job, but if you work yourself out of a job, you won't have a job. And I think like there's got to be this point at which leaders really are not held hostage by that idea, mm-hmm. that there's freedom in, okay, yeah, if you work yourself out of a job. The reality is, in my opinion, if you're good at that, that there's probably another job for you mm-hmm. to work yourself out of, like that sort of an idea. But there's this great tension, because if you're not cognizant of whether you're holding too tightly to your position, if you're not cognizant of that, you could be limiting the full mobilization of all of God's people as fellow staff members, but also as key volunteers in the region. If too much of your identity is wrapped up not in Christ and instead of in what you're doing and the value you bring, that is dangerous ground. And so I'm talking to leaders out there. If this is something that resonates with you, confess it, repent of it, but also look for a way to not do that. And I think that this is one of the great challenges for church leaders, especially here in Western New York, that if you're not mindful of this, there are people that God is raising up all throughout this region. Right. And if you're not realizing that you might be getting in the way of that, I think that's you got to be mindful of that. Now, the other side of that is we are in a generation of younger leaders who feel like they should have a seat at any table and they should be calling the shots at 22 years old, 23 years old. You know, I think there's, you know, we have to have good wisdom here to make sure that we don't present people before their time. You know, you got to fail. You got to walk through some ups and some downs. But I personally feel like your ability to cultivate leadership will bring you to a point of tension, which is to realize that the person underneath you, they may be ready for the next step. And you got to get out of the way. Mm-hmm. You got to make space for that next step, because
it's so hard to do.
It's hard to do, but it's so necessary, because if God, whatever God wants to do in this region, if we really mm-hmm. believe it, he wants to do it through all of his people. Mm-hmm. And man, you're going to interrupt. And again, I trust the sovereign hand of God here to remove you if you're going to do this, right? Mm-hmm. But I just think that this is a very real thing that leaders can be held hostage by. And that's just something that even in our present organization where I work, this is something that we as leaders are saying to ourselves, hey, let's make sure that if we're all about full people mobilization, that if there's certain things that we've created or certain identities that we have and they have to die, let's get them out of the way. Because the goal is every man, woman, and child. That, you know, that mission should drive us. And if that mission is driving us, it shapes our method and it shapes our practices. And obviously I'm passionate about this, but I you know, I'm looking at myself as I'm saying this, I'm looking in the mirror going, and Ryan, you better not be doing this too. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that makes a lot of sense.
It makes a lot of sense.
Wow.
So yeah, that's something I see in this process as a limiting factor.
Yeah, it's just the danger of us being a cork
yes.
as a leader, you know, that us putting a lid on what's happening. I know Maxwell talks about the law of the lid, that, you know, as we go up, so won't everything mm-hmm. underneath us, you know,
yeah.
will as well. And when I think of leadership development, one thought I'd just present to you here is that it's far simpler than we make it. that, you know, I had a chance to do a leadership cohort with Kevin Myers and Dan Ryland down at the 12 Stone Church. And so we came in for 2 days just to talk about leadership development. And this was their point for 2 days, make it simpler than you think. That if you just get, you know, a group of people that you feel like you're watching them, and that, you know, it'd be good to spend some time, it'd be good to invest in them, that, you know, one of the things they mentioned was just getting a good book, bringing people together in a circle, and going through it and learning leadership, learning ministry together. And when we do this, you know, if we get the right kind of, you know, group together and making this happen, you know, we can find that, you know, in 6 months, investing in 5 or 6 people can be transformative to our leadership and to the church, right? Because, you know, a lot of times it is also so helpful is that, a lot of times people's perception is for, you know, pastor does everything, you know, like, you know, why isn't pastor do preaching, lead worship, all the pastoral care, things like that. And we're, the tension we hold is that a lot of times we don't sense that that's our call. You know, we got into this to reach people. Primarily, secondly, is developing people in what God has for them. And so, you know, being able to develop leaders, and even just taking that approach, getting them together, doing a book study together, investing in them. And then I think the next thing that's critical is then giving people opportunity, permission, you know, and to begin to work that out for them. Yeah. That, you know, if you've got five or six leaders now that are developed and are part of the church, it can have a really significant difference in the kingdom impact on the church.
One of the words that comes to me, and it maybe speaks to what Ryan was talking about earlier in leadership, and it's something that I've seen, is one word, and that's courage. It is, and let me explain how that plays into leadership development, is because those in leadership in their current context, whether it's at the head of an organization, head of a church movement, whatever, if they don't have courage to have faith that other people can do things and can grow and develop, they are stuck right where they are, and the organization will go no further. Mm-hmm. Because it's so difficult to release things that we as leaders hold tight. I've even seen it, and it's something I struggle with, is because, well, it's not going to be done my way. And it, and so it's the courage to have the faith that God will lead those under us to do the right thing. But here's the other thing. Mm-hmm. It's courage to move the pieces and pawns where they belong. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that means difficult conversations. And that is probably the unspoken, untold thing. We often, it's easy to write a book and preach about how we need to give people opportunity, we need to release things. That's the easy part. The hard part is this, is that when that happens, there also comes responsibility for us to manage properly those people underneath us. And that means sometimes letting people move into a different role, if you know what I mean. Like, goodbye, because you can't do it. And that's the hard part. It hurts. It's organizational pain. So a lot of times what happens in leadership and the micromanagement of leadership is we're afraid that the person's going to fail, and then we're going to actually have to do something about it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's really why I think courage is like one of those things that it's the kind of the missing piece of leadership. Ryan, you wanted to say something.
No, it's just this conversation, I've been in rooms very recently where this is the conversation. Like, you've got a significant organizational shift going on, a good one. It's not born out of crisis. It's born out of, hey, we're growing, and we feel like we're positioned to exercise in servanthood some more regional responsibility. So how do we do that well? And I realize, like, I don't like to use a lot of sports metaphors, but I feel like one of the good ones, and I know that I'm in hostile territory when I mention the name Bill Belichick. But the reality is, like, no one is more important than Missio Dei, right? And Belichick's always, like, nobody's more important than the team. Nobody's more important than the team. Yeah. And I just feel like sometimes we can be held hostage by the fact that someone might just be more important than the team, and they're not. Mm-hmm. They're not. And I think there's a couple of things at play that limit us. One is the fear of the unknown. The other thing is, well, what if we release somebody into meaningful responsibility and they fail? Mm-hmm. Or what if we release someone into meaningful responsibility and they don't do it the way that we do it?
Yeah.
I think that's what Dwight was talking about. Dwight Smith, who has had a huge impact on churches in our region. Mm-hmm. That's what he was talking about years ago when he told us that when you're serious about mobilizing people, junior staff members and key volunteer people under you, when you're serious about it, you must lower the bar of excellence. That the idea that they may do it exactly the way you want it, it's likely not going to happen. But in time, what's going to happen is that's going to free you up to do other things that God's calling you to do in the region. And there's just that fear that you become too wrapped up in what you're good at, and you can be held hostage to it. And I say that as someone who has bitten into that fruit. Like, I've failed at that sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I'm in a situation right now in my own context where I can build. I'm the cork, what you talked about, Chris, that I'm the bottleneck. And, you know, that reality, if I don't let other people underneath me get into partnership development in the region, I'm going to limit our ability to do partnership effectively.
Because you're only one person.
I'm one person.
Yeah.
But a team can do it better.
Yeah. Well, I've experienced the same thing. I mean, just being very candid, you know, having multiple markets underneath my leadership and et cetera, you have to release things or you're going to go crazy. And we talk about, you know, under the bed, sucking your thumb. That's where it ends. That's where the whole thing ends.
That's where it's over.
Or it whittles itself back to only what one leader can handle. And that's not healthy and it's not going to grow and nothing's going to change. And so one of the biggest things, so if two lessons here, if you're a leader, number one, hire right, get the right people underneath you and be willing to move the pieces and pawns either out or in or around to allow yourself to delegate properly, number one. And number two, if you're somebody, and this is probably most people who are listening, if you're somebody who works for somebody in a Christian organization or a non-Christian or whatever, be somebody who can take the reins and do things according to what the organization's goes all the way back to the first segment, mission, vision, and values. If you're somebody who is a servant leader or works for an organization, understand your mission, vision, and values of your organization so that when you are given responsibility, you operate within those and you will be successful and grow. Young people today, Ryan, how many times have you had young people in your office and Chris in your office saying, I just want more responsibility. How do I grow in this organization? How do I get better? What can I do? I'll tell you what you can do. You can be faithful with what you've been given and handle it within the organization's mission, vision, and values, and you will be given more.
Yeah. You got to let time have time. It's a variable we're not patient with. Time.
We are not in our culture. So we leave you with that here on Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson. Ryan Cozy sitting right next to me as he does every week. Just a wealth of information in the room with him and Chris Baldwin, Pastor Chris Baldwin. Thanks for joining us today. This is Christ Together Radio. You're listening to WDCX.
Thanks for listening to Christ Together Radio. To join in, email Brett and Ryan at ctr@wdcxradio.com. Join us next week for more great discussion about Christ together.